This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. This is the final part of a three-part conversation with Keith Hughes, the Managing Director in Equity Research at SunTrust Robinson Humphrey. Do you see any reason why the commercial sector would slow down anytime soon?
Well, I mean, it's if you have a serious slowdown in residential, it definitely puts you commercial on the warning list. As we go into the end of the year, companies are going through their planning periods, thinking about, you know, how many people they're going to hire next year, where they're going to expand operations, where they're going to shrink operations, where they're going to spend their capital budgets. And, you know, right now, I think companies are going to be very wary. Commercial has had a nice couple-year run. I think near-term is going to continue to be good. I think the big question is, how does it fare as we go through calendar 2008?
So
an open question in my mind.
I've heard some people say they thought it might start to trail off a bit by the end of 2008. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, that's a very good. That's a possibility, and you might. What I would be looking for is booking and order rates as we progress through 2008.
I see.
That's sort of a key number. I think 2007, no question, is going to be a good year. We're close to finishing out another good year for commercial, but 2008 is becoming a question mark.
I see. We were talking about how the slowdown in business across the board has affected the retail community. How about the manufacturing community? What kind of effects are going to have? Obviously, some of the smaller players are probably having some tough sledding.
Yeah, there are, but the flooring industry, the consolidation of the flooring industry has taken out so many companies and provided some stability that it's not going to be like what I imagine that slowdown in 1990-91 was like. I was still in college when that was going on, but I assume it was pretty much a bloodbath. And particularly in the carpet industry and some other flooring industries, and I'm not saying you're not going to have companies in financial trouble, but there's just such fewer companies. The number that could face something like that are just less than they used to be.
I see. Although we're seeing that in some of the, like the wood manufacturing side, a lot of small players there. A lot of small ones in the laminate side.
Yeah, that's
as well.
The wood. I mean, I think where you'll see the shakeout, you just named the two. I think within laminate, and of course, laminate, virtually no laminate or very little laminate is used in home building. But I think in laminate, it's more of a secular change of you've got some very large companies now emerging that are backward integrated or attempting to be backward integrated into the board production, which is the highest cost piece of producing laminate. And they, if you're one of the smaller players, you got to make a determination. Am I going to try to, do I have the capital to backward integrate, or am I still going to be what's eventually going to be a hanger-on position in the industry? So that's less to do with poor business, although that doesn't help, than it is with anything else. Now, I think there's no question that in hardwood, you have some smaller players that's where you probably see the most downward pressure.
I see. Well, speaking of consolidation, we've seen two major acquisition of Columbia plants by Mohawk and the acquisition of Anderson by Shaw. I don't suppose any of those surprised you.
No, not at all. I mean, it's again, the consolidation of this industry continues. Mohawk and Shaw had both many years ago gotten to hardwoods, mainly as a distributor. Shaw started producing some product not too long ago, but for them to both get in manufacturing product in a bigger way was not a surprise at all. You basically, in hardwoods now, Armstrong is still by far the largest market share, 35-40% is kind of an idea. Next are kind of Mohawk and Shaw, 2 and 3, and we don't really know their exact size, but I think they're kind of similar with these two deals. And then after that, it's going to fall off.
You mean similar in size?
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, numbers are kind of hard to come by in terms of how much the internally Mohawk and Shaw do on hardwoods, and we kind of have an idea of what Columbia and Anderson did.
So where would you put them? Just a rough percentage.
The two of them together?
No.
I mean, I think that both of them are somewhere in the low teens market share.
I see, okay.
And one may be bigger than the other. It's hard for me to really tell. And then, you know, if you've got, let's call it 35% at Armstrong, that would be, what, 55, 60% of the industry among three players.
Okay, how about the rest of it now? That leaves, 40-some, whatever it is, percent.
Pretty broken out among a lot of different players. you know, we could see some more consolidation.
I guess that was what I was leading to. I can remember in the early 90s the consolidation we saw in the carpet business. Are we going to see something like that in the wood business?
I mean, I think there's no question that if you go 5-6 years down the road, within every flooring category, you're going to have three or four companies who have 70-75% market share.
I gotcha.
You know, I think Mohawk and Shaw will be in that group of three and four in every category, and we come up with some other names that would be in them as well.
I see. We haven't talked a lot recently about the Armstrong auction. I was going to say acquisition, but the auction.
The slow motion auction at Armstrong that we never seem to find anything out about.
Well, I mean, it almost seems with this change that you're talking about, and obviously both Mohawk and Shaw want to have a major portion of this industry going forward. Like, does that make the acquisition of the hardwood assets of Armstrong even more attractive to Mohawk and Shaw?
Might make them less attractive. I mean, they both kind of moved on a little bit, have they not?
Yeah, well, I would suspect they both still have the door open.
I would agree. You know, there's some ups and downs to doing that deal. I mean, it's... I don't think you're going to buy hardwood without vinyl, and you know, vinyl's not really the greatest category right now. So, you know, I guess it could still happen, but, you know, obviously there's no one who's going to buy Armstrong as one piece, so it's going to be sold off in pieces. And quite honestly, I thought we would have seen a piece or two sold off by now. I don't know anymore. I would have definitely said by the end of September we would have seen something out of Armstrong. It's getting to the point they've either got to fish or cut bait. I mean, you can't leave those employees hanging like this for 6-7 months, not knowing who they're going to be working for, things of that nature. If they have something to announce it. If they don't, they might need to just run as a publicly traded company, which there's some good things about Armstrong to talk about as an independent company.
Well, it would seem to me that selling off piecemeal is certainly an option, but if they were going to go forward as a unit, wouldn't they want to go forward with all the parts of the puzzle together? I mean, it would seem like they wouldn't want to sell off the wood and be primarily a vinyl ceiling company.
Well, I mean, if you go through the different parts, there's attractive parts and there's unattractive parts. I mean, based on financial performance. And it's just a matter of who's willing to buy what at what price, or whether you're going to do that.
If there was an opportunity, say, to sell the wood unit,
right,
and that's all they could sell, then Armstrong would consider going forward as a company that would be everything except wood.
They can run as they are now if they want to.
I guess what I'm saying, it would seem to me, if they were going to go on as an operating company, it would be less attractive to them if they sold any of the units off. Perhaps,
well, you've got to understand, two-thirds of the shares are owned by the asbestos.
Right, and they want the cash.
Well, they want the best valuation possible. And you've got to weigh, is holding the shares and receiving maybe a dividend or whatever and trying to sell them later on more attractive than whatever offers or they do or do not have on the table. And so you got to weigh, which way you want. I mean, the asbestos trust goal. The asbestos trust goal is to pay off the asbestos claims. And so they've received cash as well as shares from Armstrong. So obviously at some point those shares have to be turned into cash so they can fulfill their fiduciary duty, which is to pay the asbestos claimants. But, you know, they got cash. They don't have to do that today. But if it's the right price, it's probably advisable given their fiduciary duty to do that.
So, I mean, are you expecting any day to hear an announcement, or with every day that goes by, you think it's less likely?
I've been expecting every day for four freaking months. But, I mean, just because I'm expecting it, it obviously doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Yeah. But, I mean, as time goes by, is it less likely we're going to hear an announcement?
I think the chances of one private equity firm coming in and buying the whole company, which I think was the original goal, I think those chances are gone right now.
Yeah.
The question is, can they sell a piece? And the most financially attractive piece today is their commercial ceiling business.
Right.
You know, that would be the most logical piece for someone to buy off. But that would have made sense 2 months ago. We ain't seen anything. So,
who knows at this point?
It's tough to say.
Why did KKR drop?
I'm not really sure. That was one of the big surprises of the auction, that they didn't win it, quite honestly. That's a big mystery.
I see. We're nearing the end of the third quarter. What's your expectations for earnings reports that we're going to be seeing here?
Oh, I think it's going to be tough, absolutely. I think you're going to see, really across my coverage, you're going to see some pretty difficult results. Again, housing getting worse. I think the outlook's going to be bearish. Probably the best time ever to buy into my stocks, because I think the fix is on, and I think once you get some more bad news out of the way, you're gonna get some stocks gonna bottom out, and it's gonna be attractive to get in.
I see, and that's even the earnings for the third quarter are not going to be that attractive, even in light of having favorable comparisons with the third quarter of last year.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's obviously gotten a little worse here.
I see. Keith, it's always a pleasure having you on this program. Very enlightening.
Good deal. I got to read off my disclosures. Okay, our disclosures from Mohawk. We've received investment banking services in the past year, non-investment banking services in the past year, and affiliate income in the past year. Affiliate non-investment banking income in the past year.
Okay, Keith, thanks very much. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Keith Hughes. Keith is the Managing Director in Equity Research at SunTrust Robinson Humphrey, and you're listening to Floor Radio.